846 4CA.
It's 36 minutes past nine here on the 4CA Talk Show. We're going to have a chat about Crocs. We've covered the issue of Crocs and the debate over whether we should cull them on the show. We had a bit of an on-air debate last week with Robbie Catter saying that we should cull Crocs and a Croc expert who says that no, we should not. So we've covered it from that. We've had a couple of great calls as well about it. So keen now to have a chat to our next guest. His name is Dr. Matt O'Brien. He's Regional Director for Northern Parks and Forests, which sits within Queensland Parks and Wildlife Services Department. He joins us now. Matt, welcome to the talk show. Keen to talk to you about some new technology to detect and deter estuarine crocodiles. Now, this sounds to me a multi-beam sonar, Dr. Matt. It sounds to me like something you might see in science fiction or something you might tell tourists to say, yes, we've got some sonar, laser ray to keep crocs away. I mean, does it actually work? And what is it?
Yeah. Look, it's very interesting. So I suppose to simplify it, what we're actually talking about is, your sonar, your fish finder in your boat. It's a live feed, with a three beams, a sonar that can pick up fish and things like that. So we're actually talking about a sonar that is used for deep sea mapping. So it's a multi-beam sonar, but it's got 1,500 beams. So it can pick up way better resolution underwater. And the nice thing about crocs is their skin's covered in bone and they're quite large. So they can be picked up quite reliably with this technology, and it's never been used before with crocodiles, that's for sure. So it's very much pioneering stuff and sort of cutting edge stuff we've been working on for the last few years in sort of that R&D space and continuing to work. But it is one of those things that we've done fairly well as a management program over the years in terms of the conventional approach, but we realized years ago we had to get better. We had to look at how we were going to manage into the future and be innovative, and this is part of it.
So how is it actually utilized then? I mean, are your officers out on boats, like as if you are finding fish? I mean, how's it actually deployed?
So look, using the fish finder example, but it's fixed. So it's right. Fixed on a stand underwater.
Right.
So it sits underwater and shoots a beam out, and we've got it. So we've trialled that at Hartley's Crocodile Adventures in captivity and in the wild, and also developed deep learning technology that can automatically recognise the crocodile based on the shape and swim pattern, and then send an alert to say that a crocodile is moving through.
Right. And you've sort of monitored, so you can obviously monitor it remotely.
Yeah, well, that's the end game. And I suppose in this space, it's important to realise when you're sitting on the cutting edge of something that's never been done before, where it ends, we don't know, but the technology is getting better and better. And at the start of this, we couldn't do what we're doing now. And, each year we get better technology, more beams, more resolution. Where it goes, it's anyone's guess, I suppose, but it's looking
exciting.
Promising. Yeah,
exciting.
And we have also worked out that we can deter crocodiles using a combination of certain light and sound in some preliminary trials in the wild. So, essentially we're looking at a system that can detect, alert and deter crocodiles. But I guess, it sounds great, doesn't it? But the reality is, it's early days, and I think it should be seen as just another mechanism to try and keep people safe. It's an extra tool that should play a role. What role, how big, we'll wait and see.
So, look, let's put our future hats on. Back to the future time travel here. And let's just say that the technology has come to a point. You fine-tune it. It's working brilliantly. Things have developed. You've put one of these, I guess, sonar detectors into, let's say, the mouth of the Barron River, or you might have a couple of them there. So, if crocs are looking to, swim out of the mouth, perhaps go onto some of the beaches, for example, this system could potentially one day be able to see that croc coming, potentially deter them, but also alert officers to the presence of that croc. I mean, is that the sort of practical rollout that could one day happen?
That's in theory, absolutely. So in places, mouths or rivers, around, on beaches, around swimming enclosures or the stinger nets.
We're humans, obviously. We're humans are likely to congregate. We're not talking about, you don't need to put these things in remote Cape York or that type of things, but
No, that's right. Yeah, around infrastructure, around, high visitation risk areas.
Wow, very exciting, very exciting. Have you got, there's no time frame yet? Like when can you see it being sort of practically rolled out?
We've still got a few years to go. Like I said, this was one of those initiatives that, you come up with. And to be honest, I didn't think we'd get this far, but it's one of those things. If we don't start thinking of these things, thinking outside of the box, then we're not going to be prepared for the future. So, it's one of those things. There's still some time and a lot of work needs to go into it. But the concept stage has proven quite promising. We can detect using the technology. We have developed artificial intelligence, which can accurately detect at around 80 to 90%. So that needs improvement, but that's not a bad start. And we have found that some noises and lights can actually be used to deter them. So again, more research needs to go into that side of things, especially around habituation to sound and light when, to see how that goes over the long term. So a lot of work to do, but we've been given the opportunity to do that, and it'll be interesting to see how we go.
And is it potentially a global first, some of this work you're doing? Like, does it have a potential to be exported around the world?
So absolutely, nobody's doing this in the world. Nobody's looking at this, and there's a lot of countries with similar problems with crocodiles or alligators in the States, and we've already had several inquiries and been talking to colleagues who would be interested to, to be a part of it and to potentially trial it when we get there, because they're facing similar challenges to us. So, yeah, absolutely, it's a world first.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. You're hearing from Dr. Matt O'Brien, who's Regional Director for Northern Parks and Forests with the QPWS. So we just had a caller while we've been chatting, Matt, who asks, and it may be too early in the process here, but he's asking, will the crocs become used to or immune from the sonar deterrent?
So there's the two parts. The sonar is the bit that detects them, and the sound and light deters.
Okay.
Just to clarify. The short answer is, yes, they possibly could. And in a lot of studies and trials around the world where deterrents are used, but that's one of the biggest challenges is habituation.
Yes.
And animals that may be scared in the beginning, if they don't have a negative interaction, they go, well, what am I scared of?
Yes.
So they could very well, adapt to it or get used to it. But, that's all part of the research, I suppose.
Very good. Great question as well. Great question. All right. The beauty of live radio. Now, it's 44 minutes past nine. Before you go, Matt, of course, I do have to ask you about this ongoing debate about culling. Some saying that, of course, we should go nuts and cull them all. Others are a little bit more sensible and just say, look, perhaps a mild culling just to get the numbers under control. Look, from an official standpoint, you're one of the experts, obviously. What do you reckon?
Look, absolutely. I don't think it's as simplistic as to cull or not to cull. I think it's really more an issue of taking a more risk-based, scientifically informed approach, which is currently what we have and what we're updating our management plan on. So essentially, we already have a removal program and we target high visitation areas like towns and cities like Cairns. And in fact, we already, our program in the zone in Cairns it requires us to move every single crocodile. So we already have.
Oh, right. So they don't have to be a problem croc. They don't have to necessarily be, right. Okay, that's good.
No, so we already have zones that account for that high risk and there's, lower tolerance like Cairns. And then obviously we need to put the resources where there's high risk, which is what the plan's based on. And I suppose it's also important to understand about what are we trying to achieve long term. And what we're trying to achieve is to lower the risk of people getting attacked and killed. And it's important to look at the stats. So back in the 1970s, when we all but eradicated crocodiles, we tried and we couldn't. So there gives you an example of even if we want to do that, we can't. But they came back. And the issue is back then with a few thousand crocodiles, we had a rate of one fatality every 3 years. And that rate is the same today, but we now have 30,000 crocodiles and we have a bigger human population who spend more time in wild areas. So I suppose you need to look at it in that greater context. I think the management plan is largely working. Is it perfect? we'll be the first to say it's not, but we're committed to continual improvement and working with stakeholders to make it better.
Very well said. Fantastic update. And yeah, so impressed. So impressed to hear about some of this cutting edge work happening with that technology. As you said, a long way to go, but perhaps it is one part. As you said, there's no silver bullet here. It's one part of the solution in that management. Fantastic work, Dr. Matt O'Brien, Regional Director for Northern Parks and Forests. Thanks for your time on the talk show this morning.
Thanks for having me.